Following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Friday edition of FPC Radio Live. I am Ian Glennon, and we are on the cusp of WrestleMania. Yes, that's right, folks. There may not be sports going on, but you know what? WrestleMania is still planning on moving ahead in quite a unique setup that they're going to have this weekend. So we're going to talk about that. We originally were going to have our FPC Wrestling Managing Editor, Evan Gomes, on to help talk to us about some of the events and just WrestleManias of years past. But a little bit of a technical snafu. He's going to be on Monday to recap. And again, we'll kind of touch on a lot of those other things. But without further ado, I must bring in my co-host because, again, this wouldn't be a great WrestleMania show without him because he's full of useless information that we just happen to love on this show. So, with that said, weighing in at 355 pounds, he stands 3, okay, I screwed that one up, but he hails from the Northeast. He is Mr. Rhode Island. He is the Million Dollar Man. Mike Debate. There we go.
Everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Mic. Thank you for the very inspiring intro. I got to tell you, to be introduced by the Million Dollar Rap of the Million Dollar Man, pretty intense. I got to like that.
Well, I kind of screwed that up because I was going to give your weight twice, and there's about a 300-pound discrepancy between the first weight I was going to give and the second. And, you know, We were joking right before we got on air, you know, just how our appearance over the last couple weeks, given the situation that we're dealing with. I shaved my head off, and Mike said he looks like... Go ahead, Mike. You tell him what you said.
Yeah, I'm starting to look like a somewhat chunky Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. So, these are not the best of grooming times, but, you know, we're keeping ourselves clean. That's the most important thing. You got to keep yourself clean, absolutely. But and there's definitely no problem there. But, the shortage of barbers in the area is not good.
Well, let's say right before all this happened, I was due for a haircut. The prospect of waiting another month or so to actually get that done, it just wasn't going to happen. I was already losing my mind. I had to do something, so I took action. You know, I went full Triple H. I just buzzed that thing off. You know, or Mr. McMahon, really, if you think about it, he got his head buzzed there. So,
President, yes, no doubt,
that's right. Oh man, what a different time!
And it happened at WrestleMania.
Oh man, it's funny how we get to where we are now. But hey, you know, whatever. So yeah, we're going to talk a lot of WrestleMania in this brief show. You know, WrestleMania moments, because Mike and I have obviously both been wrestling fans for quite some time, so we have a nice encyclopedia of knowledge, especially I'd say pre 2005, 2006 is pretty much my the bulk of my wrestling knowledge. I still tune in casually, you know, nowadays, but I was certainly far more of into it and obsessed with it. And that's, you know, we're about the same age. You know, you're a couple years older than me, but it's okay. It's okay. You're not quite, you know, the Undertaker, you know, but you're closer to being the Undertaker's age than I am. But look, I always loved it. I trained briefly for a period of time. I think I've mentioned that on the show, or at least to you privately. If it was private, then yes, I did do a little bit of training. I wasn't successful. Hence why I'm here and not, you know, wrestling or having, you know, any follow-up stories because of that. But, no, I mean, if you spent any time listening or paying attention to the show, you know how big of a wrestling fans that Mike and I are. So we're, you know, look, it's WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be a little bit different than we're used to. They're planning a two-day, middle of the afternoon event in the Performance Center. Obviously, given the current state of everything around the globe, we have to kind of adjust. And I think people will be fortunate enough to be able to actually watch something. Well, I believe some of it was pre-recorded, but at least this way, people will have something to watch, and WrestleMania will not take place, which it was originally supposed to be down here in Tampa. And the funny thing was, I almost, about a month or so ago, I almost just on a whim bought tickets because why the hell not? You know, and then obviously days later, that's, I think it was about 2 or 3 days later that everything, you know, started to go awry. The NBA started canceling things, and NHL started canceling things. So that pipe dream kind of went out the window. But it would have been my second WrestleMania, and one 16 years apart. You know, I feel like there's a wrestling storyline somewhere in there about a wrestler competing 16 years apart. Well, I went to WrestleManias, or would have went to WrestleMania 16 years apart. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but at the same time, you know, the show must go on, and you know, they're going to still put on a show.
Yeah, you know, you have to give credit to Vince McMahon and Paul Levesque and everybody that's running the brass up there in WWE right now. The easiest thing in the world would have been to a fold-up shop, you know, close the tents, mm-hmm. and then just, you know, move on. And they're still trying to, you know, give people something to watch, something to look forward to. Now, obviously, I mean, I know there's been a lot of rumblings around. I've seen them on social media. Oh, with social distancing, I mean, how distant is wrestling? And these guys are going to be put through extensive testing to make sure that everyone is COVID-19 free and that there won't be any types of issues. Mm-hmm. So without any fans in the stands at the center that they're going to be taping these events, it will be a safe environment. And again, it will give people at least something. Right now, they and NFL free agency is really the only game in town when it comes to live sports news. Every other major sport is shut down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it will give sports fans, or at least, you know, peripheral wrestling fans, and maybe fans like you and I that haven't watched in quite some time regularly, the opportunity to maybe, you know, keep a sharp eye on what's going on this weekend and see what kind of a product they're able to put out. WWE is always known to rise to the occasion when everyone thinks that they can't do it. So I'm willing to give Vince and the brass there the benefit of the doubt. I still think they'll put on a pretty good show.
Yeah, no, like I agree too. And I usually always tune into WrestleMania at the very least. I mean, that's usually something I you know, even if I hadn't been paying attention, I always like to watch WrestleMania because, again, just like this show, it is the showcase of the immortals. And, you know, I'm assuming Vince might have a copyright or a trademark on that tagline, so we can't use that for the show. But let's be real here. This FPC Radio Live is the real showcase of the immortals.
That goes without saying. Yeah, I think everybody knows that.
Well, we're going to live forever, my friend. And, you know, the show will as well. But, no, look, I mentioned it earlier. We're not bashful, or we're not shy about our love for wrestling. In fact, it pretty much is a crutch for us whenever we need something to fall back on. I can always play some music. Yeah. See, and then there we go. We're off on a tangent. Now, obviously, Val Venus, as far as I know, is not going to be part of WrestleMania, but I want to ask you, and I'm sure we've probably talked about this off the air, and perhaps even maybe mentioned it on there, but you know, obviously WrestleMania, 36 years now, it's pretty much the middle between you and I. I'm 33, you're 39, WrestleMania is 36, so you know we all grew up together. Let's just put it that way, and I've had a privilege to watch many of them because, you know, when I was a kid, my uncle up in Maine, he had one of those big satellites, like the one that what's his face from a cable guy fell on, you know, one of those massive satellites you used to put in your backyard. Well, he used to get free pay-per-view and all that. So, you know, we'd get, you know, all the In Your Houses and all those, you know, the King of the Rings and the WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, all big boxes full of VHS tapes. So I used to watch all those when I could, when I was a little kid. And there's a lot of great moments there. But I gotta say, my favorite WrestleMania, or at least I think the best WrestleMania, was WrestleMania 17. And I don't think that's an unpopular opinion. I think a lot of people believe that as well. And you know, WrestleMania 17, I mean, you talk about, you know, TLC matches. I mean, it was just an unbelievable card, unbelievable event put on, a lot of great moments. What do you think? What is your, putting you on the spot, what do you think your favorite WrestleMania was?
You know, I mean, in terms of, I tell you, it'd be hard to top 17 in terms of action, in terms of just the card, in terms of everything that they were able to give you. I would probably err on the side of caution with that. And I'd say, yeah, I would go with you in terms of best WrestleManias. My favorite, you know, I have to go back to my youth because WrestleMania just meant something different back then. Yeah, WrestleMania was fun during the Austin McMahon Rock era. I was a little older then, and you know, it really kind of meant something a little different. But if you were a kid growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, wrestling was just, it was such a part of everything that went on in your life. It was almost, at some points, it was like the focal point of your life. You really, you wanted to be around it. I would probably go back to six because it's really, it's one of my first experiences remembering the WrestleMania card and really being a part of something and remembering just how big that Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan match was. It really was huge. I mean, people, I don't know if you never grew up during that era or you didn't see that. I mean, I know a lot of people that predate me will go back to Hogan Andre in WrestleMania 3. And that probably was a bigger match in terms of two icons, but in terms of the hype and in terms of the popularity, I think, of WWE at the time, that was just, to me, that's still the gold standard. And, you know, every WrestleMania that I've watched since then has either, and I'm not saying that maybe, you know, the cards and the action have been better in some of them subsequently. As a matter of fact, I can tell you probably a lot of them have been, but nothing's ever really reached that type of height for me. So I would probably say that would be my favorite, simply because it just takes me back to when I was a young kid and I remember watching Hogan and Warrior, and two guys that I absolutely loved as wrestlers, go head on head, and not really knowing who I wanted to win that match was something that I wasn't used to. WWE back then had very clear lines. It was either good guys or bad guys, and you rooted for the good guys and against the bad guys, most of us. And in this one, the lines were so blurred, you really didn't know who you wanted to win. So to me, that'll always be my favorite WrestleMania moment.
Well, and look, I actually, when I think about some of my favorites, that's right up there as well. Because, I mean, again, I watched, you know, maybe I didn't watch it live, but I watched it, you know, not too long after because of my, you know, I was about 5-6 years old. But again, I was so into wrestling when I was a kid, and I was a big Ultimate Warrior fan, and that also represented a bit, you know, obviously it was from 1990, I believe, so it was shifting out of the 80s into the 90s. There was a little bit, shift in philosophy, and it kind of started around that time, and you could see, like you said, you pit two guys that are, you know, generally fan favorites against each other, and who do you pick? Do you go? Okay, you know what? Yeah, I don't even need to drink coffee. I just got to listen to that song, and I'm ready to run through a wall. Or, yeah, that's right. Are you going to go with the real American?
To this day, still the greatest wrestling theme of all time. I mean, you know, there have been some great ones. There have been some that, you know, we've talked about several times and people have enjoyed, but there is just something magical when you hear Real American and those first few bars of that song, and Rick Derringer playing the playing the guitar, and you're
I can't turn it off, to be honest with
you. No, you can't. You really can't turn it off. You can't turn away from it. It's one of those hype songs that just immediately get you pumped. Mm-hmm. If you're in a terrible mood, listen to that song. I guarantee you're going to be ready to run through a wall.
I love the hook. I love the hook coming up ready, you know, after this, like, when it, you know, I just love the start of the verses, and they really kill it, you know? Here it comes. Ready? I'm feeling strong, but I'm right. See? It's great. It's great. I mean, how can you not get pumped up for this? Honestly, this is just going to turn into 15 minutes of listening to that song on repeat. And I could do
that's
that.
Fine.
That's cool. That's, you know, that's cool with me.
Something tells me our listeners may rather listen to that.
They're like, no, please keep staying. And please, Ian, stop singing. For the love of God, please stop singing. No, look, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that WrestleMania 6 was also the first time that Mr. Perfect was ever pinned on television. Yes, that's right. Do you remember? Now, okay, I'm throwing you on the spot here. Do you remember who pinned him?
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yes, I didn't see. It didn't take you long. It didn't take you long to figure that
Not even 2 seconds. I remember that because I was actually a big Curt Hennig fan, believe it or not, even though he was quote-unquote the bad guy. I just love the swagger. I love the way he conducted himself. Hennig was one of those wrestlers that you just look at and say, gone way, way too soon. So unfortunately, it's such a common tale with all the guys that I grew up watching. I mean, more of them now have passed than not. Mm-hmm. And that's scary, and it's a sad and very tragic thing. But Hennig was one of those guys that I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, he oversold on a couple of his – that was his shtick, though. That was how he was, and what an amazing athlete. Oh, just a tremendously amazing athlete. I mean, this guy could do it all. He really could. And, I remember that. I remember that very well. He wanted to give Mr. Perfect the haircut. I remember this, and he didn't. He grabbed the Macho Man's brother, Lanny Poffo, who was playing the character of the Genius at the time, and he gave him a pretty good crew cut as well. So that was good. The fans seemed to like that a lot, but he did. He did pin Mr. Perfect on. That was supposed to be the beginning of Brutus's big ascension to toward the top of the WWE echelon. He was scheduled to win the Intercontinental title later that year, and then the boating accident that they wrote into the storylines at the time actually happened. Ed Leslie, who is Brutus Beefcake, suffered a pretty bad boating accident, really caved in half the side of his face. He was very lucky to even come through that and be alive. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, his push toward being one of the top faces in WWE at the time was halted. And, he never really recovered from that. But that was one of the big moments supposed to be in his career. So, I remember that well. Like I said, that was my heyday. So I was very much tuned in to all things WWE at the time.
Well, I don't miss an opportunity to share one of my favorite Mr. Perfect clips, but the self-pat. I mean, I love any one of those videos, vignettes that Mr. Perfect would eat it up, because I was like you. I loved the swagger. I loved the cockiness. I loved the
I love the throwing the pass to himself. Yeah. That was probably the best. The football one.
I share that on Twitter any opportunity that I get.
Yep. Like the basketball, making the half-court shot with Felton Spencer, who used to be the center for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then doing the baseball one with Wade Boggs, I remember, too, especially us, being around in Boston and, seeing Wade alongside Mr. Perfect was pretty cool, too.
Well, it's like with going back to the football pass, it's like my favorite part about that is after he throws it. I mean, his throwing motion is terrible. Let's be real here. The fake pump and toss, it was kind of, pretty bad mechanically. But for the most part, it's perfect. But I love when he looks back and he waits a few seconds before he runs after the pass and just is like, watch this. And then he takes off. And it's... maybe there's we look at especially moments from back then differently because again we're kids, just like we look at athletes differently from us growing up watching them versus covering them or being adults and watching them. There's just a different mentality you take, but those early years were just they were really it was the showcase of the Immortals. I mean, these guys were larger than life. They came out to raucous crowds and loud music and fireworks eventually, so there was everything about it was appealing. And I was fortunate enough to go to at least one WrestleMania, although, again, I mentioned earlier, I missed out on this one. And I also missed out on WrestleMania 14. I can't remember the exact circumstances of it, but we were trying to go. Now, this is 1998, so... 13 years old. I mean, I just gotten my first job. So I'm sitting here trying to save up to go to WrestleMania or whatever. It didn't work out. I was really upset because that was the first time that Shawn Michaels retired. And at the time you figured, okay, that's it. He's done. Now it's wrestlers retire. You're like, okay, we'll see you in about 3 years for another match, but so at the end of the day, I was disappointed because again, as I've mentioned before, I was a big Rockers fan, and it turned into being a big Shawn Michaels fan because, again, he was a larger-than-life, high-flying, eccentric wrestler. I mean, it's appealing to a lot of people. And then, of course, as he evolved in the 90s and became, the you know, D-Generation X version of Shawn Michaels, it was even better. But as we know, that was his last match. He was originally set to retire because of his back, and that was going to be it for him. And he famously took the Mike Tyson right hook. And I guarantee you he probably still feels it today. But yeah, that was a great event. It was in Boston. I was disappointed that I missed it, but
that was the only WrestleMania I've ever been to live. I was in attendance for that, and what an amazing event that was. And for that not to be my favorite WrestleMania moment and still go with six shows you how much of a wrestling fan I was at that age. this one was great. This was really, I think, the height of Austin's popularity. Mm-hmm. He was really reaching his plateau in terms of where he was about to go. This was pre-DX. This was pre Austin McMahon. So a lot of the great storylines that you were hoping to see really were not even there yet in terms of WWE and the Attitude Era. But this was really the birth of it all. And yeah, Mike Tyson being there, that was, I think, the turning point for WWE and kind of the getting back on their feet that they needed to show them that they were still the kings of the wrestling world, because WCW was really giving them difficulties. And not only were they beating them in Nitro, their pay-per-views were starting to outbuy WWE as well. And that's, I think, when Vince really realized that the tide was turning and he needed to do something big to get back in the game. This was it. Mm. At that WrestleMania, it was great. I can tell you that the crowd went absolutely crazy when Kane came out and chokeslammed Pete Rose after insulting the Boston crowd and talking about Bill Buckner and calling Boston the city of losers. Yeah. And, you know, really, make the argument that that could have been the wake-up call, because shortly after that, you mentioned 1998, all of a sudden the Brady Belichick era comes in. Then the Patriots start winning. Then the Red Sox start winning titles. Bruins and Celtics got a couple in there as well. So maybe that was the wake-up call Boston needed to get back on its feet, too. I did that parallel?
Yeah, I like that. So you're saying we should thank Kane then, right?
We should. Maybe even Pete Rose, too, for waking everybody up.
For chokeslamming the curse away. It only took a few years. But actually, to your point, and you mentioned that it's funny that you went to WrestleMania, and it's not your favorite one. And it's the same thing with me. I went to WrestleMania. I went to WrestleMania 20 in New York City, and that's actually the last live event I've actually been to. And again, it's hard to imagine. It's almost 16 years now since that moment. But I love that, and it's actually come into a play recently because, as I've mentioned to you, and I don't know if you have actually gotten around to watching it, but the Viceland or the Vice Dark Side of the Ring episodes on Chris Benoit, and obviously you can't tell the Chris Benoit story without telling the Eddie Guerrero story, and you can't tell both their stories without mentioning WrestleMania 20. And you know, that was it was an unbelievable event for me. I mean, it was for one, it was the return of the Undertaker to the dead man persona. That was the first time he had done that, you know, since he, you know, returned as the American Badass. You know, he kind of went through that biker phase, all that, but this was the first time that he returned as a dead man. So, like, I was there with a buddy of mine who was a big Undertaker fan. So to be able to sit there and see the entrance for the first time in a while, that was awesome. You know, obviously Shawn Michaels was competing, and I believe it was the triple threat with Angle and Benoit, and then Eddie Guerrero was also in. It was a great event. I loved it a lot. But again, I mean, this just speaks to how much I loved WrestleMania 17 and some of the other ones that came around it. But I would put WrestleMania 20 up there just because I was there, and it was a great experience, and one that I miss having. I mean, it was, you know, a senior in high school going to New York City for the first time and got to go to WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie.
No, it really is. I mean, that, when you have the opportunity, there was a wrestling event in Hartford that I didn't get a chance to go to. That was the WrestleMania in Hartford with Lawrence Taylor and being there. A friend of mine went to that. He enjoyed it. He said it was great. But the one in Boston was the one that I got a chance to go to, which was, I think, a better event, if I'm, you know, if I'm being honest. Again, I think there are a lot of, you know, great moments. And you talk about, you know, to me, it's like that really is what makes wrestling. I mean, when we just, you know, spoke about it in terms of the events that have an impact on you may not even be the events that you were at live. It's just how it made you feel. And, you know, I think it's going to be a different type of event for people this year. And I think that, you know, there might be some that roll their eyes. There might be some that may not like it as much because you can't feed off of the energy of the crowd. But I think I'm very curious to see how they're going to do this. I really am. I think this is going to be interesting to see how the dynamic goes and how they're able to put on a show. If in-ring, you know, competition is going to be, you know, much more. Obviously, the moments on the microphone, I don't think are going to hit as much. It's especially with knowing that there's not a crowd to back off of. So. This is going to be interesting to see how they're going to do it. I know I sound like a broken record, but I keep going over it in my mind, and I'm just like, I'm still at a little bit of a loss as to how they're going to pull this off. But again, I don't bet against Vince, so I think it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, excuse me. And that's the thing. I mean, we've praised Vince for many different reasons. I mean, we're both very big Vince McMahon fans, you know, both the person and the character. You know I had to play this at least once, right?
Oh, of course.
Play for it.
I knew it was coming.
Here it comes. Yeah, that. Look, there's so many things I admire about Vince McMahon, from the outrageous to just the good nature aspect of him. You know, part of that being, you know, we talk about the XFL a lot on this show because of obviously this being a sports show, in essence, and his, you know, commitment to paying all the players and staff and all that stuff. And, you know, it just, you know, say what you want about him. I mean, he's not perfect. By no means is he perfect, but, you know, he's done a fair amount of good, and you know, that's before we even get to the great shows that he puts on and his ability to sell and promote and all that. I mean, that's why he is who he is. I mean, he may be a bit of a joke at times among some circles, but I mean, you know, he is the wrestling business. I mean, this would not be the phenomenon that it was without Vince McMahon, He, like you said, when that happened, when that shift occurred, where he decided that, look, I have to be this bad guy. I have to be the best heel, you know, like the best, like you could sit here and say he was probably the best heel of all time. Right.
Oh, I think it's questionable. I think he was the greatest heel of all time. That character tapped into something, and especially at that time, you know, where the Bush administration was just first coming in, the economy was starting to tank a little bit. People were, you know, really, I think, just disenfranchised with their boss and with, you know, with the work and stuff like that. And when you can actually watch someone be able to take it to your boss the way Austin took it to McMahon, I think so many people live vicariously through that. It wasn't just funny. I think the acting between the two characters was phenomenal. The chemistry that those two guys had was amazing, but it tapped into something that people, I think, wanted to see. And that made it even more, you know, appealing to watch week after week.
Yeah. And again, it's like, you know, Vince was fearless. I mean, he would say, I mean, when I say he would say anything, he would literally say anything. I mean, he literally worked or wrote in a script where he cheated on his wife in front of his wife with Trish Stratus. I mean, the guy will do anything to put on a show, and that's really what's admirable about it. And, you know, obviously, if you're a wrestling fan, that's the top priority, put on a show. A good show, you know, that where everyone obviously stays healthy and safe and all that. But sometimes that means pushing the limits, and Vince was not shy about doing that at all. And again, I mean, this is no disrespect to any of the great heels that have ever come through this business, and there have been plenty of them. But something about Mr. McMahon, I mean, that whole persona was just it was incredible, and you know, it makes me want to go back, and I might actually do it this weekend at some point and watch some old. I almost did it last night, but I was a little too tired. Go back and watch some old. You know, some of those old Raws and, you know, SmackDowns, if I can, or pay-per-views, just to relive some of those great experiences with those two. And then just in general, Vince McMahon just being the SOB that he was, you know, it was phenomenal.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
But, yeah, no, before we get off, you know, obviously we had some technical issues. We're going to, obviously I have a short show today, but before we get off, I do want to remind you, since we do have WrestleMania coming up, it is at 1 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, a two-day event. After both installments of the show, join us right here on Sportscaster. Talkamania is going to be live. They're going to recap the shows and interact with you guys, so definitely check it out. Sportscaster.com/FPC. We will be live immediately following the end of each event, so definitely tune in for that. Mike and I will be back on Monday. We are going to have Evan on. We're going to talk WrestleMania, some more WrestleMania. We're going to ask him about maybe some of his favorite WrestleMania moments or shows, and we're going to get right back in the swing of things, and who knows, maybe we'll have some other sporting news to talk about. We'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, give us a follow. Give the show a follow. It's at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31. And Mike, my man, he is at MDABATEFPC. Give us a follow. Interact with us. We love to talk.
Absolutely. And before we sign off, a big shout out to our good friend Thomas Murphy at TMurph207. Murph, thank you so much for the Dusty Rhodes GIF file. We love it. The American dream lives on.
That's right. Folks, check out Crossbody of Work, the great podcast by Evan Gomes and our writer Javier Mello. Check it out. They actually have a couple Dusty Rhodes, one Dusty Rhodes, one Dustin Rhodes episodes up there. Great show, guys. We will be back again Monday. Have a great weekend, folks. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a great day.